If you ask the man who was at the center of the European debt crisis in 2015, the dashing, brilliant Greek finance minister Yanis Varoufakis, he'll tell you that default hurts creditors far more than citizens. And in 2013, he openly favored this nuclear option.
The most effective radical policy would be for a Greek government to rise up and say, folks, we are defaulting. Put them in front of their contradictions. Make them face the contradictions of the Eurozone themselves. Because the moment the Greek prime minister declares default within the Eurozone, all hell will break loose.
Yanis Varoufakis was elected as Greek finance minister with more votes than any other lawmaker in Greece's new parliament in January of 2015. Today, he is out of public life. He claims he's still in politics, though, and is out talking up a book with the title And the Weak Suffer What They Must, a blistering critique of international capitalism, the European Union, and also a tale of political brinksmanship where Varoufakis comes out always looking like the hero.
On the first day I moved into the ministry, I convened a meeting of the Treasury, and I asked them the pertinent question, what is our funding like? And I got the response, Minister, it's not too bad. I said, well, define not too bad. And the answer was, we have 11 days before we default. So that was the hello to the finance ministry. 2 days later, I had a visitor, my first official visitor, the president of the Eurogroup. The Eurogroup, for our audience, is the informal group gathering of finance ministers plus the leaders of the IMF, the European Central Bank, and the European Commission. Maybe an informal group, but it makes all the pertinent, all the important decisions in Europe. So its president came to my office and, in uncertain terms, said that if I insist in renegotiating our debt, public debt, as well as the economic program of the previous government, you know, we were elected to challenge that, that if I insisted on changing anything, in effect, our banks would be closed within a few weeks. And we had 5 months of trench warfare without, thankfully, bullets and tanks. We had banks, though, being used instead.
How long were you finance minister?
5.5 months.
It
felt like 5.5 centuries.
Right, exactly. At any point, did you feel like you had power?
Oh, no. No. And that's not just us. We created a very large, very powerful European Central Bank that doesn't have a federal state behind it to have its back, to keep checks and balances on it. And we have 19 governments and treasuries without the central bank behind them. Now, that creates a situation where, you know, even though I was the weakest link in the Eurogroup, in the sense that I was the finance minister of the most bankrupt member state, you know, I looked across the table at the Eurogroup where we were all meeting. I could see Dr. Wolfgang Schäuble, the finance minister of mighty Germany. I could see the president of the European Central Bank, Mario Draghi. And you know what? There were moments when I felt they're just as powerless as I am.
You know, this is a group of nations. This is a society that needs a George Washington and a Thomas Jefferson. Who's that?
Well, no one.
Was it you for 5 seconds?
Well, look, let's not personalize it. I thought, and I still think, that we had a chance, a small window of opportunity to do what? Not to write the rules of the European Union or rewrite them. We were too flimsy a nation and too small a party to dictate to the rest of Europe what the new rules should be like. I thought that our default to the IMF and our default to the ECB, if we were prepared to utilize the immense and magnificent backing we were given by the Greek people on the 5th of July, remember, we held a referendum. And we put it to the Greek people. Do you back us to carry on fighting? To carry on saying no to more extend and pretend toxic bailout loans? And against my expectations, 62% of them said, we back you. If we had stood our ground for a few more weeks, I'm convinced that Christine Lagarde and the rest would be given an opportunity to get out of the complacency that for the last 6 years has been eating the heart of Europe.
Do you really think that in a standoff with Berlin that they would have blinked?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. Germany cannot survive without the euro. If the euro now breaks up, imagine the revaluation of the German currency. It will go through the roof.
Why did you resign then?
Well, because that night I was celebrating and I walked into the Prime Minister's office eager to celebrate with him, and he was very glum and he looked at me in the eye and he said, it's time to surrender. And I spent a few hours trying to dissuade him. I failed. He was the Prime Minister, so I resigned.
But you were prepared to take on the entire Eurozone establishment to make the point about governance, but you couldn't face...
Not really. No. I'm more moderate than that. What I'm saying is this. I am the finance minister of a bankrupt state. So what I was saying to the creditors was very simple. You want to push down my throat another 85 billion? I'm not going to sign it until and unless we sit down and work out a plan for making this debt sustainable and repayable. Now, had we stuck to our guns on this, then Europe would eventually have to reconsider its model of governance. So yes, that was an ultimate objective. It's not what I was saying to the creditors.
I guess, you know, Yanis, having watched you for weeks and months, at the end, I kind of wanted you to stand up and go, I'll take this on all myself. Instead, you just sort of quietly went away. It was the last thing I expected.
What do you mean? Did you want me to surrender? I did exactly what you said. Because when I resigned, I can assure you, the opposition and those who were very friendly with the Troika wanted my head on a silver platter. And when I resigned and I opposed my prime minister, my own party turned against me. There is a campaign in Greece to have me indicted and imprisoned for treachery and for having closed the banks down, as if I closed the banks down and not the Troika. So I did take it.
But the popular view is that you just said, enough of this, I'll get on my motorcycle, take my girlfriend and go surfing.
Where, in New York? It's certainly not a view in Athens. If you were to walk with me on any Athenian street or anywhere in Greece, you will see that the popular view is completely different, that this is a politician that stuck to his guns. And he did what he said he was going to do and didn't sell out.
Do you think at any point during this crisis and during your 5 months that your intensity, your personality, just the kind of rock star quality got in the way?
Look, I have no rock star quality, believe you me. Those who know me well, especially my daughter, think that I have none of that charisma or quality. No, let me be serious. Every time I saw in a newspaper or on television talk or images of my motorcycle or what I was wearing or not wearing, I knew that there was an attempt, either intentional or subintentional, not to engage with what I was saying, with economic arguments, with economic policies. There was a very good reason for this. I had signaled that I am not signing until and unless they give me a debt sustainability analysis which shows that our debt is sustainable. And you know what? This is the rule of the IMF. The IMF should be on my side on this because their own charter imposes upon Christine Lagarde and the rest of the good people in the International Monetary Fund that they should not be part of any country program until and unless a debt sustainability analysis proclaims that its debt is sustainable. And, you know, towards the end, when they closed down the banks just before I resigned, I asked Christine Lagarde in the Eurogroup meeting of the 27th of June, does your staff in Washington, D.C. report to you that this deal that you're trying to push down my throne is consistent with debt sustainability? And she had to confess that it doesn't. And they knew that the only way they could extend and pretend further was through my removal.
This was a battle between the idea of political sovereignty, the voting of the people, and the sovereignty that comes from who writes the checks.
In a sense, absolutely. But it's actually worse than that. Let me suggest to you something that may sound improbable in the mind of our audience, that our creditors were not even interested in receiving their money back. Conditions they were imposing upon us guaranteed that our private sector would just wither. And that there would be absolutely no taxes that we could raise in order to repay the creditors. If our government had gotten away with an honorable agreement, an agreement that allowed our economy to recover, then the peoples of Spain, of Ireland, of Portugal, and so on and so forth might get the idea that it's probably better to elect political parties that are intent on speaking truth to power.
Is this story really about the failure of capitalism, or is it about the failure of Europe?
It's about the failure of Europe. Capitalism is a problematic system. I'm a left-winger, I'm a Marxist. Of course I would say that. But you don't have these problems in the United States. European capitalism has particular malignancies and idiotic structures that are not the result of capitalism. They're the result of the history of the way in which we tried to create a common market initially and then a common currency in Europe.
So what's next?
What's next for Europe is this steady process of disintegration. Now we have borders and electrified fences. We have banking systems that are becoming increasingly unsustainable. We have pension funds that are being crushed by negative interest rates. We have a rerun of the 1930s with the concomitant rise of ultra-right-wing, xenophobic, nasty political forces. And this is why some of us have put together the Democracy in Europe movement, DiEM25, in a desperate attempt to do that which European Democrats should have done in 1930. We must succeed in binding our forces together and stop this disintegration of Europe.
And what bike are you riding these days?
Oh, the same one I've been riding since 2010, a Yamaha XJR 1300.
You should upgrade that.
Oh, no, I love it. I'm very faithful, you know.
Yannis Varoufakis, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yannis Varoufakis was Greek finance minister in 2015. He's also the author of the new book, And the Weak Suffer What They Must.